Welcome to Christ Today. Lord God, we pray for wisdom and grace as we walk in this world with our determination to obey your will. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. About 3 weeks ago, at the end of the broadcast, I talked a little about preparing for the just in case. And there was something about our vulnerability to an attack on our communication system and our electrical grid and our water. And I know people hear this kind of news just plenty lately, and they get motivated to prepare, or they don't. And so some people listen to the warnings and some people don't. I know that I have people in my family and around me that just don't want to hear anything about preparedness. They would think that if it happens, it'll happen. But I understand that people in general are concerned a little bit, but just don't want to do a lot about preparing for an upheaval. So I like to give it a little bit of look, because I think about if there was a problem, a little preparedness can help a lot. And so I think about the events going on around the world today. Some of them are gentle and some of them are serious events. And I think that a little preparedness could assist everybody and the loved ones of the people who would have some kind of a difficulty. So now let me just go over a few basics. Yes, just plain basics about if we needed to get by for a little while, we would need a few things. Oh, like electricity might go out, and so what would we do about water and food and warmth? And there are the planners in the USA who have paid attention. Some of them have been military, and some of them have been civilian or governmental. And there is a big concern if there were to be an event that were there would not be any gas or groceries available. So that is a way to prepare for the just in case. There are people who are concerned, and some of them are professional or military, and some of them are just looking around. They're concerned about an EMP. Speaking of that, there was the EMP Commission. It was a report about 20 years ago, 15, 20, and it talked about what would happen if there was an EMP attack on America. About that time, a little later, Ted Koppel wrote a book called Lights Out. And also, there were warnings with quite a few people, like Ted Forshich. He wrote a book called 1 Second After. And all these things were concerned about an EMP attack. And we have reason to know that there could be an EMP attack. And yet we have life going along just smoothly, and so many people just cannot even imagine there would be any unusual trouble in our country. It's a matter of figuring out what we believe and how prepared we want to be for the just in case there is a serious problem to develop. And we all have a different view, but I just see a little bit of preparation could make things go a whole lot easier. If you look at all the people around the United States that have had their electricity go out for days or weeks, and in some cases months, you know that a little bit of preparedness goes a long way, because otherwise some pretty big problems can develop in our life. And if we prepare just a little bit, well, things just go easier for us and our loved ones and our neighbors. And it's never too late to prepare. Oh, unless there is a big event that happens. and then it could be too late to prepare. So prepare while you are able. And the preparedness goes for if there is a natural disaster or a man-caused disaster or a war or an earthquake, or it just so many things about what could happen. And there again, a little preparedness helps. And I think of Proverbs 22, and 27. Both of them have a talking about a wise man who sees trouble coming and gets out of the way of trouble. There's a passage in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13, that says, when a land is in persistent unfaithfulness to God, there will be events like famine and war and pestilence. Now, war can also be terrorism. So, we have warnings, and then we just have to decide what are we called upon to do. Should we be concerned about these kind of troubles or not? Well, a lot of people expect the government or a organization to help them out with things like the Red Cross or a church organization. But really, these organizations do not have a warehouse full of goods to help anybody. People are reliant upon their neighbors for help. And that's what we want to also do, be a help to our neighbors, the people we know, the people we love, even our family. Yes, of course. So to be able to help, we want to have a few things available, whether it be water and food or gasoline and groceries, or it's just a matter of we all see what we would like to do, and we do something, whether it's warm clothes or radio communications or something. We all can do something. And if we do nothing, we know there will be consequences. And sure, we do not have perfect knowledge, but God does. And God has warned us in the Bible that there will be these things coming. And so I just think it's prudent to take a few preparedness steps to get some things lined up so that we can survive the hard times and speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are multiple places in the Bible that talks about famine and epidemic and war, so we should not be surprised when they arrive or even come to our doorstep. And it's a matter of, can we take a few basic precautions, a few things that we would need to stay alive in case hard times do come? Well, there's the basics, and then there's a few other things that are just plain nice. It's very nice to also be a part of a caring community, whether they are family or friends or a church community or even government helpers. It's nice to have some help, and therefore we know that it would be nice if we had a few things to help our neighbors. So consider that for when you are preparing for the just in case. If we have a few things on hand, that will help us greatly to survive a difficult time. And there are a few things that we all can think about having. Well, this is kind of common. There are preparedness people or first responders. They always have a few things with them on their person, like a knife or a flashlight and an extra battery for that flashlight. Oh, there might be a tool, I think it would, a Leatherman tool that has a few things on it, including pliers. They're all very useful. Or you can get the mini tools that are just really, really small, and they have some almost useless pliers. But when you need something, anything is a help even a pair of cheap pliers or a cheap knife or anything. Sometime, if you have nothing, even the things that aren't very good help. But have a few things on your list in your preparedness materials for the just in case, including your identification. You see, everybody, if there is a hard time coming, just like we have had fires in the past, the people have needed to have some documentation of who they are or where they live, or if they have a bank account or a driver's license or any of these things. They need a little bit of documentation. So in your preparedness, your preparations, have a few things that are about identification or where you live or even a dog license or something for everyone in the family. You might want to have pictures of your family also. You can have a small medical kit. It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. Everything helps a little bit. Now, of course, we are not doctors and we are not professionals that carry a great big backpack full of stuff with us. But if we just have a little bit, we can help a little bit, and that will be very helpful. We all make decisions, and often we wish we could do more, but it's better to do something than nothing. We don't carry an emergency room of supplies with us, no. An auto mechanic does not carry his tools with him. A teacher does not carry their books with him. And we make decisions about what makes sense for us to have available for us for the just in case. Yes, fill up your pockets with just that little bit of stuff. It can help a lot, or you can have a little more if you know how to use whatever it is you have, with things of medicine or things of a mechanic or whatever it is. But have a few things for the just in case, because life happens. All sorts of things happen in life that are surprises. And you know they are emergencies that happen too. Yeah, I remember for me, I've had two people, this was a few decades back, but I dealt with a broken leg, splinted a broken leg twice in my life. And once on a river trip, a man drowned. And sure, the emergency people came out, the sheriff came out, and we can be glad that there were witnesses to that event. But anyway, things do happen. People live, people die, and people have accidents. So they've happened to me, and I know they have happened to other people too. A little preparation goes a long way. In the last few months, we have heard plenty of things going on around us. There have been lots of serious events, and people are concerned. Smart people, people who are involved with maybe emergency services, maybe government services, maybe financial things. There are some people who have some pretty good knowledge, and they are getting concerned that there could be a big decline coming along, whether it's a stock market decline or a monetary collapse. They are questions. And yes, we always have questions, but in the recent days, there have been more people concerned about what just could be going on. And I heard Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, he said that he expects there will be a problem in the U.S. economy. And he's not the only one. There are people who have lots of questions. And so somebody like Jamie Dimon, who has a net worth of about $2 billion, they're people who would have understanding and information. And if they are concerned, perhaps we should have a little concern also. We can see what's going on currently, or we can look at historical models. Read the history books, or read the Bible, and you know that there will be trouble coming, and it helps us to understand from history the patterns that repeat. So let's get a little bit of preparation on hand for the just in case. There's plenty of people who are expecting a problem, and there are plenty of people who say, oh, don't worry, be happy. And so the trouble is, if trouble does come, we will have a hard time getting through it, and a little preparation will help us greatly. Now, if there's the people who say, don't worry, be happy, if nothing happens, we're going to be fine anyway. But I just think preparation is good. But who will listen? Who will listen? I also think of who will listen to the Christian who has a message of salvation about faith and following Jesus Christ. If things get difficult, people are always more willing to listen to a spiritual person talk about Jesus. We have to be ready for that too. Now, there have been plenty of people in the past who have had a message of, I think it's mixed Christianity, because it talks about they might talk about financial things and tell you about how you can get rich because God loves you. Well, I am sure it could be true sometime, but it's something which we have to be really careful about, putting those two things together. There are just things happen in life, and we need to be prepared for all of them, whether it's a broken leg or somebody drowning in the river, or just somebody in need of a meal, or calling their relatives to say, oh, I'm okay now. I had an accident, but things are all right now. Or they're not all right. Can you come help me? Everything can happen, and we can look out for what is both expected and not expected, because that is what goes on all over the world today. Again, we can get a few preparedness items, whether it's gas and groceries or beans and bullets. I don't mean I know. I mean everybody has their own idea about what is important. And now always remember the grace of God, the love of God, and how we are to love our neighbor. And that's something which, even in the midst of difficulty, we want to keep that as the most important thing in our heart, because we are Christ followers and we have the love of Christ in us. He loves us, and we are learning to love God back and love our fellow human beings, our neighbors. Love them also. It's a command. It's a commandment of the God in the Bible. So a part of our preparedness is about showing love to other people. And again, as we look what's going on in the world, there is conflict. There is, I think of the conflict in Israel, of how there has been conflict for 100 years over Israel. And so we have a little bit to look at, too, about what the possibilities of trouble are. And are they going to come to our backyard or front door? Trouble can happen. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And so can goodness and grace. But these are the thoughts that we have, and they're on my mind because I see the things going on in the world that are both a spiritual concern, a spiritual fight, and a physical fight also, with the war events, terrorism, and controversy going around. It's a matter of looking of what goes on and how we can prepare. I do think about the families around, the church families, the people who just don't really know what to do or how to get out of a sticky situation. And somehow, there are things that we're going to do to be able to help people. And we can use our minds and think about what goes on and what we can do. We have a lot of corruption in life. Oh, and you can see that going on today. Look at the corruption that's going on in our government. Well, the investigations are going on, and we find out that millions and billions of our tax dollars have been corrupted by corrupt politicians and people with greed. And I think of our Social Security Fund, with millions of people over 130 years old, 100 years old, people even about 200 years old. And we know that that just cannot be true, because people just don't live that long. But there they are on Social Security, and they are older than makes any sense at all. So we can see that things are, well, I think of it as corrupt. And somehow there are things going on that are designed to hurt us personally and hurt our nation, the people in it. And I think it's a spiritual attack on every American there is, every person that there is. And it's a matter of what is going on, and we just accept it. Too often we do. Just like we have a famine going on right now, one way or another, we have had our food processing systems attacked for about 2 years, and now we are having a massive culling of the laying hens, and so there's a shortage of eggs all over the United States. And now what's going on, we have people who are shipping eggs into the United States. There's 15,000 tons of eggs coming from Turkey into the United States. And is this just the kindness of their heart, or are they looking at a profit? And I also have to wonder about if the eggs are coming from another country, what kind of problems could be coming with them? Just like we have problems today with people coming into the United States and all sorts of diseases that were eradicated are coming up. Again, like a smallpox and polio, there are little outbreaks here and there, and they are happening. Now we're having the bird flu question, where bird flu is killing, well, many millions of laying hens. And I think about what, maybe we should just be aware of how do you kill the bird flu virus. Google says the virus is killed at 165 degrees. So why can't Americans just be taught to cook the eggs to 165 degrees to keep that virus out of human beings? But somehow somebody is telling us that we need to kill all the laying hens, and that is making a great shortage of eggs. What if we were just taught to heat the eggs to 165 degrees. Well, something is going on. And Let's see, it is about 20 million laying hens that have been killed in the last year. That is a lot of egg-laying chickens to lose. And somehow we have things going on all around us. Is it a spiritual battle, or is it a physical battle? Or are they joined together where there is both a physical battle and a spiritual battle? Yeah, we can only guess, but we certainly see how there could be some pretty big consequences to whatever is going on. The chickens and the eggs is just obvious, but the battle goes on for our family, for the health of people, or the drugs that are going on, or international trade. There are things going on all over the world where good and evil have a chance to fight over what is right in God's will. So what are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the will of God? Do you know what the will of God is? And so we have one chance to learn what is the will of God. It's while we are alive. We have a chance to pray, to seek God, and also to read His Word. And then we get to know God better and better and better. So do it now while you are alive. I keep being surprised at the number of people who I know who are just passing into the next life. Christian people, non-Christian people, and then you find out, oh, they passed into the next life, and yes. So always be aware that there is a way to speak about Jesus Christ and remind people about the love of God and, of course, how you can follow Jesus Christ. We do that among people we know. We do that among our family members. We do that among the groups that we are a part of. We want people to have a wonderful eternal life so we can tell them about Jesus as we all get attacked one way or another. I think of it as an attack, I really do, because we have difficulties. Difficulties, sure, with chicken eggs, sure, with finances, sure, with car problems, sure, with things that just happen in life. And is it a spiritual attack or is it a coincidence? Well, it can be a little bit of both, but somehow we have to be aware that there is really a battle going on around us, and it takes place in many areas, including what goes on a government level, where the money is being misused, abused, and taken from its intended purpose. We expect our money to be spent goodly, rightly, and with a good conscience, but we know it often is not, and we have to stand against that and stand for righteousness. We have plenty of injustice right here in America and right around us in the world. Even in our own neighborhood, we see things happen that are, well, they're unjust. They are not just. And so let us stand for justice, whether it's in our own backyard or what about across the world? And what do we do? It is a question. I think we have a little calling to do what is right in Israel because of the scripture that says that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, I think of that October 7th event of 2023 in Israel where there were about 1,200 Israeli deaths, and then about 250 hostages were taken by the Hamas, Palestinian terrorists. And now Well, a few people are being returned alive, and also the bodies of a few people are being returned. What a trauma that Israel is going through. To have some dead and some alive people or bodies returned. I just have to wonder how the world would react if Israel returned the dead bodies of several dozen Hamas prisoners who had been in Israeli prisons. Oh yeah, I wonder, how would the world react? How would the Palestinians react to receiving dead prisoners? Things are going on in our world, all over the world, and somehow we get to witness what's going on and see how it could impact our life. We don't want to have people abused. We don't want to abuse people. And yet it is going on. It's going on all over the world. I think of the drug abuse problems going on also. Yes, how do we stop the drug abuse problems that is going on? Obviously, Americans have a problem with wanting illegal drugs to make them feel better. I presume that's why. And America also has a problem because the Chinese government is causing illegal drugs like fentanyl to come into America. It's a plan. I mean, it couldn't be happening by accident, so it is happening on purpose. And now with all the fentanyl deaths in America, 100,000 in a year? And then what does that do to our population? If we're talking about people aged 18 to 45 who die, 100,000 people a year who die? Now, these are pretty often military-aged people. So does that mean that somehow there is an enemy that is destroying the capacity of America to be a military people or power or have a military force? Well, I guess if there was an invading army, they would want the military-aged Americans to die. So we just have to wonder. Is it a plan that China is providing pounds and pounds of fentanyl, which in turn causes deaths among the American, let's call them, we could say youth, or we could call them 18 to 45, the military age people. And then we have migrants from China who are the military age. And how did so many Chinese people come into this country? Chinese nationals, how did they even get here? It's not like they are having riches all over the place. There's not a lot of free money in China, and yet we are having millions of people come over from China and Asia. Other countries as well. India, Venezuela. Oh, every country, they're coming into the USA, and we have to wonder, is there a purpose behind it? Is there a purpose behind the number of children who are dying or who have a disability due to autism? Now, this autism is a huge thing, where 1 in 35 children today become autistic. And some people say the number is really 1 in 20 children are autistic. So if these children are autistic, how capable are they going to be? Or will these young people need a normally functioning adult to help them stay alive in life? Well, it certainly does something to the American population, does it not? And I just can't help but think, is it a spiritual plan or is it a coincidence? Is there a dark spiritual power that wants to harm America? And of course, I think of the satanic desires to destroy everything that is godly. Is the USA godly? Well, I think it used to be, and it's still kind of godly. It's just going to be different from what we expect. So if it was an intentional plan, would you feel differently about it? Should we look at protecting our family, our friends, and our country? And we can also look at the history of spiritual warfare, or the history of Satanism. And we know that there are plenty of people who have been both Satanist and against the goodness of God. It's been happening all through history. And somehow, it seems to be happening right here and now in America. Sometimes it is hard for us who are just decent people to understand that there could be such a corrupt and evil being as Lucifer, as Satan. And how could anybody want to cause such pain and destruction on purpose? But no, do look at history. Do look at what has gone on in the history books. Do look at what has gone on in the Bible. And we know that there have been terrible things that have happened, real, huge, sorrowful events of killing, of suffering, all over. It's worse than we can imagine, because we are pretty much decent people, and we cannot imagine another human being causing such a great amount of harm and suffering. But the devil is at war with God. And because he is at war with God, he is at war with humanity. We can see it in the Bible, where people have been destroyed. Well, I think of King Herod, the king of Judah, how he ordered his soldiers in Jerusalem to slay all the male babies under age 2. That's Matthew 16. And, of course, it was really bad. It was really bad to have babies being slaughtered. But that's what King Herod ordered. And so that's the kind of thing that can go on today also. Or would you even say that it does? It does. Well, one more thing about that Jerusalem, the slaying of the male babies under age 2, is there was a history guy, Bugsy, who estimated that there were 140,000 children that were slain in Jerusalem. It's hard to look at what the true numbers would be, but that is one number. So it's not just like a few dozen babies under age 2. It is a whole lot of babies. And of course, that kind of a slaughter continues even today. Just think of what's going on with Planned Parenthood, how millions of babies have been slaughtered in the United States, and many millions of babies slaughtered, murdered around the world because of Planned Parenthood. So it goes on. It goes on today. There are people who think it's good. They find a reason to say it's good, just like the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. She thought that she was doing a good thing. She was a nurse, and she advocated abortion for the poor people, for the disadvantaged people. She thought it would make a better life if we didn't have so many babies. Well, I guess we all get to figure that one out, don't we? That's a hard one to think of, killing babies, though. It certainly is for me. Well, I know we think of there are people who would agree with Margaret Sanger and use the medical profession to say that people should not live. That's happening to elder people also. Where the medical professionals say their life is not useful anymore, it's okay to allow them to suicide out of this world. Well, we have a great difference of opinion on that one, don't we? I'm just going to leave that one and say it's a tough situation when you really consider what it means to cause death. It's different from allowing your body to die than it is to cause a death. And we have heard testimony of many people who would even say it's good. Now, some of these people would be called Satanists because they want the human population to die. I remember the story of one Satanist nurse, and in her description, she tells about telling the people who were on their deathbeds that God can't help them. They ought to submit to Satan and die. So that was actually a Satanist nurse who spoke like that. We have things going on in this world that are both godly and ungodly, and we want to be aware that we will uphold the will of God as we go through life. It is the goodness of God, and God is good. And God tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee. That's James 4:7. So we hold on to Christ Jesus, and we submit to God, and we want to be born again. John 3:3 says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So let's everybody go to heaven, and let's be born again. Our Bible tells us just what we must do to see the kingdom of God. And it is surprising that more people do not study the Bible with diligence because perhaps they just expect they have lived a good life and they expect to go to heaven. But that's not quite what our Bible talks about. We're talking about submitting to God through Jesus Christ. And we hear the stories about people who are told what they must do to get to heaven. Oh, I don't mean to laugh. I was just thinking of my wife who, when she was a teenager, she was told that if she did things like go to movies or dances, or if she wore pants, these were a religious church body who said that if girls did that, they wouldn't go to heaven. So it's something that we all have to study the Word of God for ourselves and understand us being faithful to God. Now we all grow in the Word of God, and we study the Word of God to learn the truth. Just like people who have been wrong in the past, like they've been told that they can't wear pants or they can't go to a dance or they can't go to movies. These are things that were once told to teenagers. And people learn the truth of God's love and mercy, but also about how to live and how not to live. And so we live and we learn, and we change according to what is the will of God. There are many people who have realized that they need to change, and they do, and they learn the Bible truth, and they follow it. And then they have a heavenly future. And that's what we want to do. Seek Jesus. Seek the truth of the Bible. And we have a heaven to look forward to. I think we all can pray to Jesus, pray to God, and have a little prayer asking Him to show us the truth and what is real and true and what we must do. God, I remember I prayed that prayer over 20 years ago, and God did show me. I did study, but God also showed me. And I think that each one of us want to say a prayer to God and ask Him to show us the truth so that we can live according to the will of God. And I think of, there's another one, Hebrews 12:8, that says that God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that following God's will is what we want to do. And we learn the will of God yesterday, today, and forever. So search for God's truth. It is written in the Bible. And then live accordingly. Because God tells us what to do. And we can search for the truth in the Bible. We can also pray and ask for God to show us. And I believe He does. Well, I've had Him show me. But we want to see the reality of God's Word. And we want to go to the real heaven and not be deceived. We will need a covering of God through Jesus Christ. Well, it's all interesting how God can love us and we can love other people. It's also a matter of what we do as a Christ follower. And we see how we can preach the good news of the gospel to many people, and live a born-again life. Well, our country is going through a lot of trouble these days. There are attacks on our country all over, and somehow we want to uphold the will of God and Christianity as it goes through, as we go through life. Following the love of God and loving our neighbor enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I think of that John 13:35, where a new command, Jesus says, a new command I give you, that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And I think, how much did God love us? He loved us enough to lay His life down for us. And that's something that we might want to or need to do for Christians around us or non-Christians around us. Well, we will seek the will of God and hear His voice as we go through life. In the midst of everything around us, the goodness of God and the evil around us too. And we realize how much we want to follow goodness and not evil. There are plenty of people today who are seeking the will of God, and they see trouble coming. Oh, I just heard Tucker Carlson and the evangelist Mario Murillo talk about how social media is being used by other countries, whether they were foreign nationals or the military or the social media from other countries. And there is an effort to influence the young people in the country and to deteriorate our Western values and to put new ideas into the mind of the youth and the elder, everyone. And it is a form of attack on America. And we want to seek the truth, the God's truth, and promote the goodness and good news of the gospel. To do that, we have to know a little bit about what the gospel says. We will find it helpful to read the Bible and study the gospel and ask for God to guide us as we go through life and our study of God's word. We do have plenty of reasons to be concerned about what is coming. And yeah, sure, I wonder about it all the time, too. And do I know? I don't know, but I do see all sorts of reasons around us that we want to be careful about what is going on and what we are doing, that we are promoting the good news of the gospel, that we are promoting goodness and godliness, and we want to stay away from anything that is ungodly and evil. And a part of that is when we show the love of God through hard times. And there are plenty of people who see that hard times are coming. The Bible tells us hard times are coming. The history books tell us hard times are coming. And so, if trouble arrives on our doorstep, we can share the love of God with our neighbors and the good news. Good news of the gospel. Good news of eternal life, and we also have the love of God that we want to share as we go through difficult times. That's what we want to do. And so I think of that as getting prepared for helping people with something, whether it's getting through a natural disaster or just some kind of an event that develops. It could be a natural disaster. Oh, we have them all over the place. There's tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and famines. All sorts of things are happening. And that, to help people with material things, we need to have a few things on hand so that we can help people, whether it's gas and groceries or batteries and beans, anything else, I don't know. But in America, we do see conflict is going on, and we want to be a peaceful and loving. As we talk to others about the good news of the gospel, we want to be ready for the unexpected, because really and truly, unexpected things happen all over the world, and we know that it's normal, so let's get a little prepared to show goodness to our neighbors. That's a part of why I think of preparedness, but I also think of preserving my life and the life of the people around me. Family, friends, church family, a whole lot of people will be in a, I expect that when it talks about the hard times coming in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, before the end of the age, that there will be hard times coming, and we have a chance to show the love of Christ to our neighbors. So let's see how we can be loving to the people around us. I'm always glad for everyone to listen to the broadcast, and you can go to past broadcasts anytime you want at www.christtoday.org. Look for the one that says with John Stephenson, because there's about four or more Christ Todays, and they're just different. So this one says with John Stephenson. I hope that you look about what you can do to get prepared to show the love of God to you and your neighbors. I do talk about preparedness things from time to time, and I also have a free preparedness paper which talks about things that you might want to have on hand. I hope it would motivate you to think about what kind of things that you might want to have on hand. So you can get that. It's free. If you just write me, I would ask you to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and that way I know I've got the address right. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It's a free preparedness paper to get you to think about what you might want to have on hand for the just in case. And of course, if you would like to have a donation, all donations are very welcome. So thank you for listening today, and may God bless you immensely.